The Tom Woods Show, episode 1642.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, all your friends think they know what went wrong in 2008, why there was deregulation, and we need more skulls cracked by the state to prevent that kind of crisis from ever happening again. Well, this is entirely false, and you can build up your ammunition against it by reading my free ebook, The Deregulation Boogeyman, over at regulationmyths.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Delighted to be joined today by Stephen Nikala, who chairs the Libertarian Party of Florida. He is also the Region 2 representative to the Libertarian National Committee. He is a businessman, as you will learn in just a moment. We're going to be talking today about the effects of the shutdown on people we know in business. And so to some degree, this episode will be anecdotal, but so much, frankly, of what's been driving the narrative of the whole virus has been anecdotal. Oh, look, I know a 25-year-old who had real problems with the virus or who this and that. Yeah, I know that. But scientifically, you know, just to point that out as if it's normal, it's not really. These are from the pro-science people usually, and it's not very pro-science. But that doesn't mean there isn't room for human interest stories in a way to help us get beyond the statistics to flesh and blood examples of what's really happening out there. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tom, and thank you for becoming a native Floridian.
Yeah, going on just about 4 years now, as a matter of fact. And yeah, it beats the heck out of the last state I was in. I won't mention any names. I think some people know. We'll just leave it at that. All right. We could talk about the Libertarian Party, but to heck with that for right now, because we got to talk about the virus and the government response, and in particular, your perspective on it. And I just got done telling you, I keep promising listeners, look, we are going to cover other topics. And I have covered some other topics. I covered Latin American history. I've covered North Korea, what's going on there. But yeah, doggone it, like a dog to its vomit, I am brought back to the virus time and time again. And particularly after you wrote to me, I thought, this is an angle that we really need to investigate. Now, tell people what it is you do for a living, because you are not chairman of the Libertarian Party of Florida for a living. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to put food on the table?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a franchisee and CEO for a Dairy Queen franchise down here in the Florida Keys. We actually picked it up after Hurricane Irma. I've been in the QSR industry for a number of years. QSR is quick service restaurant, or people know it as fast food. I help run my family's Wendy's franchise. We have 8 stores, 3 in the Florida Keys, and we're going on 5 now in North Carolina. We just opened another one up 2 weeks ago. We also have a full-service restaurant called the Island Grill down in Alamorada, and we own a local movie theater, all of which have been very much impacted by not only the virus, but primarily the government's lockdown in response to this whole thing.
Let me say in parentheses, this is pure selfishness on my part, has nothing to do with the listening audience at all. But my favorite thing at Dairy Queen used to be a blueberry sundae. And now, at least in the locations I've gone to, they've yanked that away from me. I can't get a blueberry sundae anymore. And I'm not going to hold you personally responsible for that as a franchisee. But let's just say there's at least one person out there who's very sad about this development.
Yeah, we get a whole bunch of people that express their sorrows whenever we pull their favorite item. You know, we have people that ask us for blizzards that have been around, you know, 10, 15 years ago and items that I've never even heard of that we stopped selling.
But you know what? Look, let me just say, before we get into the real meat of this, let me just say, I don't go to a lot of chain restaurants to sit down and eat. I mean, I do go to Dairy Queen, but in terms of sitting down to eat, I don't go to that many chain restaurants. But I do like, if I have to go to one, I do like Longhorn, and I can live with Red Lobster if I have to. And in both cases, the thing that I most often ordered there was taken off the menu, and the explanation given to me was nobody ordered it. And I thought, you're killing me.
Yeah.
Not only did I order it, it was like it gave life meaning to me to order that one thing. So anyway, all right, this is silly and ridiculous of me. Let's get on to the real subject matter. So obviously there is a lot of takeout going on. There are some restaurants where I don't know that how much that really replaces their normal volume. Because, for example, a sports bar, people aren't really going there primarily for the food. The food's a nice add-on. Whereas Wendy's, a lot of people go there for drive-through anyway. Maybe that's been roughly a wash. How would you assess it?
Well, I would say that we are blessed to have the drive-through. You know, when normally it's about 60% of our business goes through drive-through, 40% is takeout and dine-in. Now, obviously, about 99% of our business is drive-through only, and about 1% is delivery. So the industry has been moving towards delivery slowly. We don't have it available in all of our locations, but we get DoorDash down here in the Florida Keys and Key West. So that's getting real popular. But I would say that, you know, for the local businesses that don't have a drive-through, they are moving towards a lot of takeout and delivery, but they're still down about 90% of their business because, you know, why do you take your girlfriend or your boyfriend out to go and your husband or wife, whatever, your family to go out to eat is for the experience, to dine in, to have quality service, to have together time. When you're competing with the grocery store, it changes that economically, you know, for families entirely. So luckily with Wendy's, you know, we offer the 4 for $4, you know, Dairy Queen offers certain packages and people really just want something sweet to kind of take the edge off on. So we still get a lot of business there. But between the tourism and everything else, you know, we're all down significantly. But drive-through service has been our saving grace through this whole thing.
Are you talking to other businessmen about what they're experiencing?
Yeah, I know a lot of business owners down here. And I'll tell you, Tom, you know, we're a tourist industry down here. So we rely completely on tourism. We're not selling sponges anymore. We're not selling turtles or cigars or, you know, we're not an independent republic down here in the Conquer Public in the Florida Keys. We rely 100% on tourism. And without that tourism, we're pretty much dead in the water. Not only that, but the Monroe County Commission's actually put a roadblock on the 18-mile stretch coming in. So there's actually a roadblock there where they check your ID. And if you're not a primary resident and you can't prove it, they won't let you in. So no tourists, no secondary homeowners. If they have it under a corporation or something like that, it has to be under their name and they have to have it on their ID. So without cruise ships, without tourism, we're definitely hurting. And actually in Dare County, we have our other two stores in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. While I was just up there, we have a second home there. And we actually had to get in through our business permits. We had to get a special permit to go in under a business license deal. And that's the only way they let us in. There's no tourists there either. And I know there's local action in both of those counties to sue the local governments for overstepping their authority in this case. So it's definitely a constitutional issue whether or not they're allowed to do that. And technically, they're not. But business-wise, it's been terrible because down here, we look at these months as our golden months. So from March till August, we make the majority of our money. We build our war chest to get us through the cold season, the slow season, which is from about September till, you know, January, February, then things start kind of growing back. And, you know, I was talking to a lot of business owners down here that, you know, rents down here are just egregious, especially downtown on Duval Street. That's like our main, you know, tourist mecca, or Bourbon Street, if you will, and rent down there goes anywhere from $13,000 to $50,000 a month. And folks just aren't going to be able to pay that. Even if they do defer their rent for a month or two, you still have to pay it back. And these businesses aren't going to survive. So, you know, if I had to put a figure on it, I'd say about half the businesses down here and in Dare County as well probably aren't coming back. And I've been speaking to some real estate agents that are big down here that can confirm that.
Holy cow. Well, when you listen to commentary from, I don't even know if it's the mainstream, I don't know if it's the left, I don't know, it seems like everybody just about seems to think that business can just indefinitely absorb this situation. All they have to do is sit and wait, and then they can restart. Mm. But let's take, for example, owning a movie theater. I mean, what does it mean to say, I have to shut this thing down indefinitely? Does that mean you have no costs during this time? And what does that really look like for you?
Sure. So we have a little community theater in Marathon, and we run it. And, you know, it's not a big money maker, but it's there. It's there for the community. It's a little oneplex. We've been in the movie theater business before. And and basically what that means for us is not only do we have to deal with the stigma of actually coming out and sitting in a movie theater, which was already kind of there before the virus, but those kinds of businesses, I mean, being deemed non-essential, you're pretty much, you mean you're dead in the water. Your employees are not getting paid. So a lot of the employees down here are leaving, and we're not going to see the full repercussions of that until we reopen. But basically you've got food that's going bad. You've got, you know, Coca-Cola products that are going to get all gunked up, that you have to throw away, which is, you know, you got hundreds, if not thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in inventory for a lot of these places, that people are pretty much just giving it away, because you can't sell it. So if you're a prime cut steakhouse and you've got all this inventory, you know, that is money that you're not going to see come back. You still have to pay taxes. You still have to pay, you know, some utility costs. You're still paying your mortgages or your rent. And, you know, you still might even try to float a few key managers to make sure you retain them for when we hopefully reopen. But the big thing for business owners right now is that there's so much uncertainty. And a lot of businesses are closing down because they have to weigh, you know, do I want to wait 4 or 5 months and rack up $50,000 a month in rent costs and have $200,000 of rent that I have to pay when I reopen and hope and pray that tourists actually come down and, you know, help me service these costs, or I just shut my doors today? And that's something that a lot of business owners are having to gripe with.
What's been your impression of how the governor, Ron DeSantis, has handled the situation?
So I was hopeful at some points that he would see the light and reopen businesses. It seemed at certain points that he was being put under some pressure to reopen. But it seems like a lot of constituents really are in favor of a lockdown. And I think it has a lot to do with who you speak to, because, you know, if you're a family of five and you're over leveraged up to your eyeballs in credit card debt and auto payments and mortgages and all that, I mean, you would hope to get back to work. And the big problem in Florida is that the reemployment down here, the system is completely broken. So at last I checked, about 6%, and this was about, I think, on last Friday or Thursday, 6% of all the applicants for reemployment insurance have actually gotten some money. So there's folks out there that are really in a tough spot, just trying to make ends meet. But there's people out there that have somehow, I guess, been able to make it work. I don't know, because there's people out there that do want the shutdown, which is beyond me. But for a lot of people out there, I mean, there's food banks running miles, and it's real tough for those people. So with Ron DeSantis, I think that, you know, I hope we open things up soon. I think he's done a bad service to all of us through this whole thing by shutting down and basically snuffing out Florida's only major industry, which is tourism.
He can't seem to satisfy anybody, because on the one hand, people like you and me think he's not doing enough to open up. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he hasn't satisfied the shutdown people, because he hasn't shut down quite enough, or he shut down too late. They all claim he shut down 2 weeks too late. Yet there was never a surge of hospitalizations. So if he did shut down too late, where was the surge? So those people, I'm sure, came out and apologized for hyping this up. Oh, wait, that never happened. Sorry, that didn't actually happen. So, yeah, so at this point, he's alienating the people who voted for him, and he got in by a hair's breadth. I mean, it was it was less than half a percentage point between him and his opponent. So they're upset. The lockdown people are upset. Do you think it's just a matter of he doesn't want to be one of the first governors to do it? He wants to wait and see and then get a little political cover when other people have done it for a few weeks? Do you think it's really that?
I think so, Tom. I think that he's under a lot of political pressure to kind of balance out his approach and try to appease everyone. I can tell you from a local perspective, I think it's really the exact opposite. I think locally down here in Monroe County, you've got these older, you know, in their 70s, 80-year-old, you know, representatives, county commissioners, and mayors that, if you would ask me, you know, they're in the most vulnerable age bracket. They're still receiving a government paycheck, you know, let them eat cake. So I think for a lot of these folks, they're not economists, they're not business owners, so they could really care less if we kept things shut down as long as their constituents are happy. And, you know, I think that there needs to be some kind of sympathy, or at least a level of understanding for what businesses are going through and how that affects workers and employees, because I really believe that the landscape of the Florida Keys is going to drastically change after this, because when Hurricane Irma hit in 2017, and that took us down for about 3 weeks, it hit the Middle Keys mostly. That's where it, it made its major impact and just completely really destroyed Big Pine Key and a lot of the metal keys. But Key West wasn't as affected directly by the storm, but we were impacted economically. So during that time, a lot of the workers, which usually are younger workers, a lot of immigrants, we get a lot of immigrants down here that come and work. And a lot of those folks move to cheaper places because they can't pay the rent. Rent down here for a one-bedroom apartment is about $1,800, and it goes drastically up from there. So folks kind of room up together, and if you don't have a big savings, you know, you're going to leave. So a lot of the wage laborers, a lot of the, you know, the workers that help the servers, the auto mechanics, the people that we need to function down here are probably either moved in with their parents or have already moved to places that are cheaper. So we're definitely going to go through a worker shortage, and that's going to have impacts on the local economy as well that are unaccounted for.
Let's talk about what the Libertarian Party of Florida has been doing, because I don't want to comment on the National Party. I'm not sure. I'm not interested in that. But what you have been doing on this issue.
So we have built some coalitions with Reopen Florida groups. We did endorse the Reopen Orlando protests. And we had one of our members out there did a live stream. It got a lot of controversy, and I think that's good press because we had a couple of news organizations reach out to us. I was interviewed for Telemundo Orlando, and we had a couple of other people reach out to us for some stories and things like that. It had, I think, about 200,000 person reach on that in the live stream. A lot of negative comments, but also a lot of positive ones. And I think we need to stir the pot, and we need to have our people know that this is what we support, and you know we're this is, you know, a very libertarian issue. So I spoke with a gentleman named Josh Ellis. He runs the American Revolution 2.0. It's more of a conservative organization, but it's nonpartisan, and they're making a 50-state push for May 1st to protest nationwide against these lockdown measures. They want to support, you know, basically your personal decision making, personal freedom, and all this. They recommend people wear protective equipment, but they don't say you have to. It's really up to you. And we did endorse that. We are partnering with them to have a protest in Tallahassee on May 1st. And there's a Facebook group you can join, or you can go online, type in American Revolution 2.0, and follow the links to the Facebook group. We've got some guys headed there on Friday, and I'm hoping to head up there too. And I'd like to meet with some representatives on Capitol Hill as well, and do some lobbying while we're there. But that's how we're taking advantage of this, because you know, aside from thanking our people that are still, you know, out there doing their thing and supporting us, you know, we as libertarians are, as far as I'm concerned, the only political party in Florida that's really taken a stand definitively on this issue.
And it seems to me that this is the time for the Libertarian Party to differentiate itself from everybody else. Because, yes, it's true, a lot of people aren't going to like us for taking that position, but a lot of people don't like us anyway. And the fact is, nobody is taking this position, really. Not the Republican Party, that's for darn sure. They're terrified. So, I mean, you hear some isolated Republicans saying this or that, but almost all of them are mealy-mouthed. So to have a candidate say, let's say a presidential candidate, I would want the presidential candidate for the LP, whoever it turns out to be, to say, our position is we're against the lockdown. Now, you're going to lose soccer moms over that who want to keep us locked up forever because they think the virus will go away if we stay in our houses. I get that. But there will be some people who will hear about the Libertarian Party for the first time and say, well, you know, they're probably not going to win, but doggone it, these are the only people with the stones to say what a lot of us are thinking and are too afraid to say because we don't want to be called murderers who want to kill our grandmothers.
I agree, Tom. I think, you know, we can't mince words here, and we have to be polarizing. Polarizing is it's what drives people. It's what rallies people. We need to be passionate about the issues. And I have a bit of a personal beef with the LP too, is that, you know, we need to be taking hardline approaches on things. And that's the only way we're going to rally real support, not support from people who, you know, are kind of on the fence or are casual observers. That's not the people I want on my side. I want people who are really passionate about the issues and actually want to make out a difference. That's why we've got people all across the state willing to drive to Tallahassee. And, you know, Florida, it's about a 10-hour drive from here to, actually, I think it's 13 hours from here to Tallahassee. So, you know, it's not a day trip. And we need passionate people to support us, support this movement. And I think that's what makes us so special as a political party, is that we take controversial stances and we support them, we back them up. And I'll tell you right now, I took a poll on a Florida Keys Facebook group today and asked, you know, do you support reopening the Keys to tourists, yes or no? 15% of the answers were yes and 85% were no. And sometimes that's the numbers we're grappling with. And I think that the majority of people will go with whatever their elected officials tell them. If their elected officials tell them tomorrow that, you know, it's safe to reopen and now we've beat the curve, let's go, they'll do it. So I don't count those people into, you know, the folks that I necessarily want to change to my worldview. You know, politics is about making a political effort to, you know, to either to change policy or to win elected positions and change things from there. So that's what I hope to do in the Libertarian Party of Florida, is to be aggressive and get the people that we want the support from and reach those objectives. I don't want it to be liked. I want to be divisive. I think that's the only way to do it.
Let me leave the conversation with this question. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the response you get is it's not safe to reopen. And you value money more than human lives. And that's typical of libertarians, because all they care about is greed and keeping what they've earned and all that. Now, incidentally, it's so funny to hear this complaint made about libertarians all the time, that I've got mine. That's what they think, that that's what our philosophy is. I've got mine and I'm not going to let any of you have any of it. When most, and I'm not you know, present company accepted, but most libertarians I know are not really that well off. Like, for example, most billionaires in the U.S., are registered with the Democratic Party. I'm sure a few are Republicans, but billionaires are not members of the Libertarian Party, as a general rule, let's say, as a general rule. And yet there's this view of us as we're these rich fat cats with our phony baloney economic theories that are really just a grandiose rationalization for greed and all that. It doesn't correspond to what's really on the ground. But how do you answer that primary objection?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'll answer it a few different ways. You know, I was talking to somebody from a local group. We're actually planning on suing the county and changing policy, lobbying and all that to get the Keys reopened economically. And, you know, it's funny because the person I was talking to, she said that people are calling her on Facebook selfish for wanting to reopen the county. And I said, that's funny, because you would think the people that are safe in their homes telling other people that they can't go out and they can't work, you know, for their personal safety, I think that's selfish. You know, I don't think if I truly believed that cost benefit wise, opening the Keys would result in more death or more this or more that, you know, versus staying closed, you know, it might change my opinion, but I really believe that this lockdown is hurting us all so much economically that really the moral position, if we're going to look at it from a bleeding heart perspective, is how much damage is being done on the folks that, you know, we don't see, that food banks are lining up for miles. You know, there's a massive amount of people out there that are just over leveraged in household debt. And perhaps this is a wake up call to those people, but it's part of our consumer culture that are going to be defaulting in droves. There's businesses that are never going to return and their employees aren't going to return. You know, there's a lot of economic damage from this. There's going to be a tidal wave of bankruptcies and people moving out. So when I consider the human impact of all this, I people have to realize that this lockdown was never meant to cure the virus. It was only meant to allegedly slow it down. But we've got hospitals that are empty. We've got workers that are getting their hours cut. I know local workers at Lower Keys Medical that are getting their hours cut down. People are getting furloughed. There's hospitals across the nation that aren't going to be coming back because, you know, they can't even make enough money to keep the doors open waiting for this tidal wave of coronavirus patients that were allegedly supposed to come. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, we have to choose if we're going to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, or the land of the scared, the home of the quarantine. And, to me, you know, when if folks think this is all about profit, believe me, you know, this isn't about profit. I think the most people down here aren't making any profit. This is about survival. And yes, there's an economic interest in me to keep my businesses going. But there's also an economic interest for all my employees to keep paychecks coming. And, you know, it has to be considered. So, you know, there's meat shortages that are going to be coming through soon. And I know a lot of that has to do mostly with COVID cases at these meat processing facilities. But we can also look at government and government's role on that issue, which is, you know, government does not allow the direct sale of processed of cattle to private processors that are outside of the FDA system or to consumers. So, you know, we can put the blame on the government in a lot of different ways, and we can point to solutions there. But to me, you know, Tom, the real selfishness is from the folks that think that staying inside and using government force to keep people, you know, in their homes too, that to me is the real selfishness.
What is the website of the Libertarian Party of Florida?
It is lpf.org. And if you head over there, if you're interested in joining the party, feel free to get involved. Feel free to send us a volunteer request if you want to get involved locally. If you're interested in running, we're making a big push for 2021 and 2022. We need to get you prepared now if you've ever thought about being a candidate. Or if you just want to donate to the party and help us do our work and continue, please, you know, I encourage you and I thank you for your generosity and kindness to support us in these very difficult times. I know it's not easy on folks. And if you can, that would be very much appreciated. If not, sign up for a newsletter and see what we're doing. And we hope to support you as the only party fighting for liberty in the state of Florida.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen, for what you're doing and for your time today.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
All right, everybody, that'll do it for today. If you like and appreciate what I'm doing over here, head over to supportinglisteners.com. One of the benefits is my private group where you can have serious conversations without being accused of wanting to murder your grandmother. And the way in is supportinglisteners.com. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.